Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, Bruce Albert, and Alice Bryant. Later, Ana Mateo will bring us this week's health report. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
Careers in science are increasingly popular in North Korea as the government expands its nuclear and missile programs. In the past, North Koreans who worked as scientists or engineers were paid very little. Science and technology careers were also not highly valued by the government. But Radio Free Asia, or RFA, reports that has changed under the five-year-old rule of current leader Kim Jong-un. The government now offers many privileges to those studying nuclear and missile technology, according to sources inside the country. As a result, North Koreans have shown a willingness to raise their children to become scientists, the sources said. People with university degrees in science and engineering are not required to complete military service like other citizens. Apartment buildings for scientists and engineers were built in Pyongyang, said a person in North Hamgyong province. And the Korean Workers' Party Central Committee decided to give preference to scientists for new apartment buildings under construction in every province. The speaker asked not to be identified in the RFA report. RFA and VOA are each part of the U.S. government-supported Broadcasting Board of Governors. Kim Il-sung, Kim Jong-un's grandfather, ruled North Korea from 1948 until his death in 1994. The source said the former leader had urged parents to raise their children to become artists. Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il, led the nation from 1994 to 2011. During his rule, many parents wanted children to become top officials of the ruling party, serve in the court system, or have a job with the ability to earn foreign money. It was after the rule of Kim Il-sung that North Korea created special middle schools to develop scientists, the source said. But the government did not help students who went on to study science and engineering at universities. Private tutors of musical instruments or dance were the ones who earned the most money until the Kim Jong-il era, said a person from Yangon province. But now it is private tutors who teach math, physics, and science who are earning the most money. This person also refused to be identified in the RFA report. The man said that when Kim Jong-un became the leader of North Korea, scientists began receiving better treatment, including increased food supplies. All parents now have an obsessive desire to raise their children to become scientists. The treatment of scientists and engineers comes as North Korea has increased testing of missiles and nuclear devices over the past few years. North Korea has said its goal is to develop a nuclear missile capable of striking the U.S. mainland. Most military experts say the country is currently not close to possessing such technology. On Sunday, North Korea carried out its latest test of a medium-range rocket. The solid-fuel missile flew about 500 kilometers before landing in the sea east of the Korean Peninsula. State news agency KCNA reported the test on Sunday confirmed the technical abilities of the new weapons system. It said North Korean leader Kim Jong-un declared the launch a success. It also said he ordered the weapon system to be produced in large numbers and deployed. Sunday's test came 1 week after North Korea claimed it had successfully launched a new kind of medium long-range rocket. The North said the rocket was built to carry a large, heavy nuclear warhead. Outside observers said the May 14 test showed an important increase in missile technology. They said the rocket flew higher and longer than any other missile tested by North Korea. I'm Brian Lynn.
U.S. President Donald Trump continued his first international trip as president Monday. He arrived in Israel, saying his visit to Saudi Arabia over the weekend gives him hope for securing Middle East peace. Trump said Saudi King Salman bin Abdulaziz told him that the Saudis want peace between the Israelis and Palestinians and unified efforts against threats from Iran. During my travels in recent days, I have found new reasons for hope, the president said in a short speech on his arrival in Israel. Trump started his trip in Saudi Arabia, the birthplace of Islam. There, he received a warm welcome from Arab leaders. He expressed U.S. support for slowing Iranian influence and preventing the country from developing nuclear weapons. In a speech to a group of Arab and Muslim leaders in Riyadh, Trump urged a new effort to stop the killing of innocent people in the name of religion. Trump suggested during his speech that he would not follow former President Barack Obama on pressuring Middle East leaders over human rights reforms. But Trump criticized Iran, which just re-elected its moderate president, Hassan Rouhani. From Lebanon to Iraq to Yemen, Iran funds, arms, and trains terrorists, militias, and other extremist groups that spread destruction and chaos across the region, Trump said. For decades, Iran has fueled the fires of sectarian conflict and terror. During his visit, Trump announced $110 billion in U.S. arms sales to Saudi Arabia. But in Iran, President Rouhani rejected Trump's criticism of his country. He accused the U.S. government of supporting terrorism by helping rebels opposed to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Rouhani said, "Who can say the region will experience total stability without Iran, who fought against the terrorists? It was Iran, Syria, Hezbollah, and Russia. But who funded the terrorists?" Trump has expressed optimism that he could help negotiate peace between the Israelis and Palestinians. Earlier presidents have failed to do so. Speaking in Israel, he said one reason is that concerns about Iran are making nations more willing to work with Israel. What's happened with Iran has brought many of the parts of the Middle East toward Israel, Trump said during a meeting with Israeli President Reuven Rivlin. Trump met Monday with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. On Tuesday, he is to meet with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas.
State universities in California are planning to limit admission of undergraduate students from other states and from overseas. The decision follows release of a report by the state's auditor, Elaine Howell. She found qualified California residents were being denied admission to California state universities because of the acceptance of many non-state residents. Under the new policy, enrollment of non-California residents will be limited to 18% at five University of California campuses. Those campuses are Santa Barbara, Davis, Santa Cruz, Riverside, and Merced. At the four other campuses in Los Angeles, Berkeley, Irvine, and San Diego, the percentage of non-state residents is already above 18%. Those schools will not be permitted to go above their percentage of non-state residents admitted for the 2017-2018 school year. The policy will take effect at the start of the 2018-2019 school year.
There was emotional debate at Thursday's Board of Regents meeting as a majority of members voted to limit out-of-state residents. Board member Hadi Makarishan was once an international student. He moved to California from Iran in the 1960s. Makarishan told the board he fears the new limits will lead gifted international students to look elsewhere for college. "I know the in thing today is to build walls, but we are building a wall around the University of California by doing this, he said. But University of California President Janet Napolitano said the new limit on out-of-state residents is a balanced decision. Napolitano said the policy supports our pledge that non-resident students will be enrolled only in addition to and never in place of Californians. But it still provides opportunities for students from around the world, she said.
The state university system in California is one of the largest in the world. It serves about 210,000 undergraduate students. About 16.5% of them are from outside California. About 10.9% of university undergraduates are international students. They come from about 100 countries. There are financial reasons for the acceptance of so many non-state residents. California state universities receive about $61,000 a year from non-state residents, compared to about $34,000 per student for in-state students. That is a difference of about $27,000.
In March, UCLA Chancellor Jean Block told the board that extra tuition from non-state residents helped his university avoid cuts and add some courses, even as state education spending dropped. But as the regents met last week, its members were mindful of another issue. The California state government had been holding up $18.5 million in aid to the state's universities until the board moved to reduce non-state admissions. Assemblyman Kevin McCarty had led the move to hold up the financing. He said lawmakers have been hearing from parents who say their children were being denied admission to state universities in favor of out-of-state students with lower academic scores.
Competition for admission at California universities is intense. UCLA received 102,000 applications for the 2017 freshman class, the school reported. It is the first time that over 100,000 students asked to be admitted. Last year, UCLA accepted about 17,500 for its 2016 freshman class, the school reported. Of that number, 10,406 were state residents, 4,614 were out-of-state residents, and 2,454 were from outside the United States, the school reported. Of the 17,500 accepted, 6,546 were enrolled at the Los Angeles University. About 25% were from outside California. I'm Bruce Alpert.
And I'm Alice Bryant.
American technology company Tesla has launched sales of its new solar roof. The roof is made of glass tiles that can collect energy from the sun. The tiles were designed to make the roof look similar to those on traditional homes. Some of the tiles have solar cells inside that take energy from the sun and turn it into electricity. All the tiles look the same, and the solar cells are invisible from the street. Tesla founder Elon Musk says his goal was to create a solar roof that looks better, costs less, and lasts longer than non-solar roofs. The tiles are 3 times stronger than non-solar tiles and weigh half as much, according to Tesla. The company is guaranteeing the tiles for the whole lifetime of a home. The company estimates the cost of installing a solar roof on a 240-square-meter home would be about $69,000. Some industry experts have noted this estimate is much higher than for a roof made from traditional materials. But Tesla says a solar roof will actually cost less over time because it can reduce or get rid of electricity payments. The government also reduces taxes for some people using solar technology. Tesla sells batteries to store the solar energy that powers homes. The battery is called a Powerwall, which is included in the price of the roof installation. The Powerwall stores energy that can be used at any time of day or night, the company says. Tesla also makes electronic automobiles that can be charged with solar power. Elon Musk says both products can be used to help conserve the planet's energy supply. When you think of a sustainable energy future, you want roofs to be beautiful and generate energy from the sun, he said. That energy can then charge power walls and electric vehicles. That's the future we want. People interested in buying a solar roof can go online and estimate the cost by entering information about their home. A $1,000 deposit is required to place an order. 2 designs are currently available, and more will be added in the future. Roof installations are set to begin in the United States next month and will start in other countries next year. Musk said he is not sure how many people will order the solar roof tiles and admitted there could be some difficulties along the way. But he added that Tesla is committed to the project, which he described as the only sensible vision for the future. I'm Brian Lynn.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. Americans love food trends. Much like clothing, some foods are more popular at times than others. The United States is currently experiencing a coconut craze. Jeanette Rizk is a spokesperson for a popular store called Whole Foods Market in the United States. It has sold coconut water and coconut oil for years. But Rizk says she has seen an increase in other coconut products in the stores she represents.
We're seeing coconut oil in natural beauty products. We're also seeing things like the meat of the product being used in everything from flours to tortilla chips to milks and butters.
Some health experts say coconut can help fight infection in the body and raise its levels of good cholesterol. Elissa Goodman is a holistic nutritionist. She says coconut has many health benefits.
It revs up your metabolism. It also acts as an antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal. So it's great for the immune system. It's great for the heart. It raises your HDL. And it also is great for like any kind of urinary tract infections, any kidney issues, weight. I mean, the possibilities of using coconut oil for your health is endless.
HDL is what doctors call good cholesterol. Low-density lipoprotein, LDL, is bad. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in the U.S. provides information about cholesterol on its website. It says most of the body's cholesterol is LDL. High levels of LDL cholesterol can block arteries, the tubes that carry blood from the heart to the rest of the body. The blockages can lead to heart disease and stroke. The CDC website says HDL cholesterol helps remove LDL cholesterol from the body. High levels of HDL cholesterol can reduce the risk for heart disease and stroke. Walter Willett is a doctor and nutrition expert at Harvard University's School of Public Health. Willett says there isn't yet enough research about how coconut oil affects the body to claim it is healthful. However, scientists and nutritionists do know the chemical makeup of coconut. Unlike other plant-based oils, coconut oil is a saturated fat. Willett explains that coconut oil is about 90% saturated fat, which is a higher percentage than butter, which has about 64%. Saturated fats are in animal fats, such as butter, meat, egg yolks, and in some plants like coconut and palm oils. In humans, saturated fat often increases cholesterol levels in the blood. Unsaturated fats often come from plants. Eating foods high in unsaturated fats can reduce the amount of cholesterol in the blood. Willett says that too much saturated fat in the diet is unhealthy because it raises LDL cholesterol levels, which increases the risk of heart disease. But coconut oil also increases HDL cholesterol, the good cholesterol. So Dr. Willett says it is less bad than saturated fats that do not raise HDL levels. Coconut oil might not be the new super health food that some claim, but moderate use in cooking could be good for some people. An important note when buying coconut oil: look for virgin on the label. Make sure it is not hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated. Hydrogenation is a chemical reaction that turns unsaturated fats into saturated ones. Hydrogenated fats are also called trans fats. The CDC says trans fats raise your bad cholesterol and may even lower good cholesterol. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Ana Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.